The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
We can officially say in Houston today that Cristiano Ronaldo has liftoff.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, that's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
A lot going on this beautiful Thursday. A lot going on this beautiful Thursday before July the 4th, leading up to America 250, baby. I'm excited about it, headed to the Hill Country. And on that front right there, Ron, I got to give my powered by, Dirty's Daily powered by, I got to give it to Astro Granny, man. My road dog for many years, Astro Granny. Through my single years, I didn't love anybody enough to other than my mother to have them ride long road trips with me, things of that nature, man. Been my road dog for a long time, man. Astro Granny's on her way to the city, boys.
You gonna make me come into the city?
Well, I've already making you. I told you I wasn't coming to pick your ass up. You got to come in here, and we're gonna leave from here. We're going to the Hill Country. Granny's going with us.
Oh, okay.
Astro Granny's going with us, and guess what? I forgot a couple of things. You'd like this? I prepped a few meals. One of them's gonna be my lunch today, so I don't have to go spend any money. Forgot all the meals in the when it was going to be my dinner. I was going to even share with her a little bit. Had my wife cook me up some cauliflower and broccoli and you know some good healthy stuff. Left it. Guess what? Astro Granny to the rescue. Slid by there, picked it up for you.
How about that?
Got a pair of
probably cussed you all the way.
Probably did, but she didn't via text. But she blew her steam off and then texted me nicely. And then I said, hey, look, I got a pair of sunglasses that have been ready over at the Ray-Ban spot. They repaired them for me. They've been ready over there. I said, you mind going and grabbing those before 6 o'clock so I don't stop afterwards when we get on that road? Gotcha. No problem.
You're doing a lot.
And Astro Granny will be right out here at the curb by about 5:55 waiting. She'll probably be about 5:45 ready to go. So
I'm
powered by
and whoop that ass.
Yeah, well, you've done that before, so it wouldn't be the first. Dirty's Daily is powered by Astro Granny. Again, my road dog. And Linda Sterner, appreciate you. Love you.
Seen Linda in a minute.
Love you. I'm gonna need you to keep it down on this trip on the way to the Hill Country. And don't ask too many questions once we get there, all right? All right, and another deal.
That's going to be a ride.
Yeah, another deal. But if you don't put a governor on her, she'll talk the whole way now. She will suck the oxygen smooth up out of the cab of that vehicle for sure. Another one. Happy birthday to Big Draws, man. Travis Bryant over on Eastside Baytown. One of the best dudes I know, man. Good time, always happy, solid dude. Big Draws' birthday today. I ain't going to tell everybody how old you are, you old geezer. But happy birthday, brother. The World Cup, we got to get to America 250. America's birthday's in a couple days. We got us a good win last night. Ron, I was in. I got home, leaned into the game now. Luckily, Lainey, I told you, Lainey's a little bit of a hindrance when games are on. Her bedtime's about 8 o'clock. Sometimes she'll stretch to 8:15. She likes to get in there and chat. She's got a lot of Astro Granny in her. She gets in there and chats. And it really gets in the way. Last night, I'm talking about, I think I was in that room max 7 minutes. I think I was in that room putting her down max 7 minutes. So I got to get back to the game. I didn't miss.
You wrapped it up quick.
She was out. She holds my finger. I slid my finger out of that hand. And when she didn't grip back down hard on it, I knew she was out. I was out that door, back to the game. And USA gets a big win, man. That was a big win. First knockout round win since 2002. What were you doing in 2002?
Well, if it was this, I was preparing to go to old college for the first time.
July 4th?
Uh-huh. Preparing to go to college in August.
2002, T.
My
what
first
were you
year,
doing?
My freshman year.
I reckon I was in about seventh grade at Gentry Junior High in Baytown.
Yeah, you was riding motorcycles, throwing black cats and M60s at people.
That's
and pissing
exactly. I was on them dirt bikes tearing up the motor.
Yeah, you was probably pissing off Presley Cox and her sister and her mom and dad.
I wrecked Carly, Presley's sister. I wrecked her dirt bike so bad one time, bent the handlebars all to hell, and then
Did you just pay to fix it?
Dude, it was a bad move, but I was a young, dumb kid. I just wheeled that dirt bike all bent up back into their garage, and I just ran home.
Do they know who did it to this day?
Oh, they knew within hours.
I'm going to talk to Carly about that next time I see her. But
Presley's dad called me pissed.
2002 is the last time that the Really, I think it's the only time, right? That was the second knockout round win for the USA in World Cup play. And it was 24 years, I guess, since the last win. So, monster win. Arguably, I heard the In the Loop guys, they had somebody on that was a World Cup analyst. And I didn't really get a confirmation, but they settled on absolutely one of the biggest, if not the biggest, World Cup victory in history for the USA. I enjoyed it. It didn't strike me as greatest victory or best victory of all time. I think that's more of the lack thereof, of not having enough wins. So here we are. Here's what the win sounded like, though. We've got Folarin Balogun, striker, top striker for the USA team. He got us on the board first. It sounded a little bit like this.
Also with the long. Tiemarim, only man there, able to steer it to Adams, flicks it along Tillman, he's got Balogun making a run off him, can he get around to that ball, to the deflection, Balogun scores, Flo Balogun, first to react to the deflection, he'll do the LeBron celebration, it's 1-0 U.S.
Hit him with the LeBron silencer afterwards, Ron. That was nice.
He had an eventful day.
I'm telling you, I'm not a big celebrator, as everybody knows. I like the LeBron silencer.
Oh, he was so smooth with it too, man.
Yeah, that was. I even like when LeBron does that one. I like when others do it. That's a quick kind of under the radar. Just what it is. It's a silencer. I didn't know that until a little earlier. I like it. I've always liked it. Didn't know what the name was. I like it even more now.
I like to do it during beer pong sometimes.
I bet you do. You did. I mean, you should have done it that day. We were whooping the hell out of our wives over there at your place on that beer pong table, Chief. America goes up one zip on that, and then Tillman makes it two zip, and it sounded a little like this.
Tillman! Dead! Malik Tillman! 2-0 United States!
Tillman delivers for the United States. Make the keeper work, and boy does he. Intense focus, lines up for power, and just bangs it. 2-0, United States.
Lines up for power and just bangs it. I want to know what the goalie was doing there, boys.
He was screened. I mean, he was on. They had their setup on this side, and he was on the other side of the net. But I'll be honest, I didn't know we had players that were capable of.
He bent that thing in there, didn't he?
Of doing that. I just didn't like it's like that. That's some stuff like the great, the great teams,
Pele.
The France and Argentina and Spain that have those type of guys that can do that. Boy, that was some shot.
Well, Tillman's coming. I still don't know what the goalie like. Because here's the deal with me on that one, right? Why would you expose, and I know why the guys were lined up and shielding, but why would you expose the closest part of the net to the ball? The shortest path to him scoring a goal, was you gave it to him. Glad you did. He bent that thing in there. It was a beautiful thing. Now, the controversial piece of all of this is the fact that we've lost Balogun, who is our C.J. Stroud or our Nico Collins. We had that conversation in the crosstalk. Bottom line is...
Just to kind of give an understanding. I mean, he scored three goals.
Yeah.
And scored the most goals on seven shots in the tournament.
He's our best player. He's our most impactful player. He's our on the offensive end, he's our striker. He's the guy that it's tough to replace. Really, really tough to replace. We'll see.
First or second.
There you go. That's how important this guy is. But he gets tangled up, which they do all the time in soccer, and he gets tangled up and actually steps on the back of the opponent's leg, and it's a no call. There's no call on the field whatsoever. Not a yellow card, not a red card, no nothing. They go to review, and it goes from no nothing to a red card, which in soccer I learned last night, which in soccer means an immediate ejection. So you got to play with it without him the rest of the game, which obviously you're down your best player, but you're also down one player in your rotation. You typically have 11. Now they got to finish the game with 10, I believe is how that works. And so that obviously puts a lot of strain on the guys around him. And then he's also out for the round of 16 which is we now know we're catching Belgium. Is that correct?
Yep.
We're catching Belgium in that round. So we got to go and beat a team that's ranked higher than us. We got to go beat a team in the round of 13 next Monday night, and we got to do it without ultimately our best player for sure on the offensive end of the floor. Pitch. Damn, I had it, man. I was rolling so good, man.
It's all right.
But, Ron, I've got some major issues with this. I'm going to be honest with you. I was starting to lean into soccer, and this has pissed me off. The first game that I said, all right, I'm going to lean into, and not just because the great jerseys, by the way, great uniforms, not just because they got the flag on their chest. That's a big part of the interest at all, but not just because of that. Now, you talked about it yesterday. I'm kind of leaning into the hype, right? I'm kind of feeling the hype.
No, Bill, this is becoming a moment.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and I want to be here for it, and I'm trying. And then not only does our best player, one of our best players, get a red card and he's going to be out in the round of 16, but it's extremely controversial of how he's gone out, right? I think it was an awful call. The process that, like I said, it was a no call in live action. They went back on video and didn't go to a yellow card. They went beyond that, went all the way to a red card, which was the ejection and missing the next game as well. I think it was an awful call. I think World Cup and FIFA, I think it's silly as hell to have a rule in place. Because to your point, the refs got to be by the letter of the law. If they see something and that's the rule, unfortunately. Right, the fact that World Cup, because this, once you get out of that round robin stuff and you get into this field of 32, when you get into the round of 32 and the round of, I mean, these are AFC Championship, NFC Championship caliber games. These are damn near Super Bowl caliber games, and you're talking about a step on the ankle can end up a guy missing a game and a half worth of action. The crime does not fit the punishment. I understand if you've got somebody out there that's an enforcer and he's out there kicking folks in the chest or something. Yeah. I totally get it, Ron, but this crime does not fit the punishment. If your rule in place puts a referee in a position where he can officiate a game and a happening that like that and cost a guy a game and a half in such a big game, I think it's absolutely silly that's even in place. That's even possible.
Yeah, I think even if you don't, like, there are some folks that obviously are huge soccer fans that this makes more sense to them.
Yeah.
I think Reggie, it made more sense to them.
Well, I think that he just accepts it.
And now John, obviously a big soccer fan, he did not love it at all. But I mean, if someone just put you in there and they said, all right, you watched that act. You saw, like, you watched it, slow mode, everything. All right? You watched that act. And then the penalty for that act is to lose the team, lose that player the rest of that match, and then also lose him the entirety of the next match. Not a half like in college football with targeting, but lose him for the entirety of the match. Like, I just don't know anybody that look at that would say, yeah. That should match that consequence. It just seems, and obviously they have done it to this point, they know it, but the importance of the game and what that red card would have meant, I think you got to look over there and there has to be malice and intent. And that's what it says, what should come about for a red card. They have it in the rule book, violent conduct or serious foul play. And I, you know, that one you could see was not his intention. Now, I can understand there's a penalty or a foul even if it's
but it
not
wasn't
your
even
intention.
A violent action. He stepped on him. It wasn't
intention.
Even a kick.
I mean, I can see if he did that on purpose, a stomp on an ankle and you could really injure somebody like that. But it's clear, all right, there is a yellow card or some sort of a foul or consequence. But to think that it would rise to the level that it is and the impact that it is,
yeah,
is it just did. I mean, you watch that in whether you know the game or not, it is weird to think that would rise to the level of miss the rest of that game, play a man down. By the way, amazing for them to go over 30 minutes playing with a man down and scoring at the same time. and then miss the other game. That just doesn't seem to make sense. When you
well, look, the crime doesn't fit the punishment, and all you got to do is listen to the people that cover soccer, that played soccer at this level. I mean, they're beyond split on this deal. Most of them are, it's egregious, right? I mean, whether it's the ref or the rule, because here's the other piece of this, right, is they don't play Belgium until Monday night. The inability to review, like right now, you got 4, 5, 6 days. The inability, I guess not 4, 5, 6, you got 4 days, 3 days. The inability to review that play and say, okay, we're good with the fact that it was called. We're good with the fact that he missed the time. But that clearly was not a red card, should not be a suspension. He's good to go. The inability in 2026 with all the review tactics, the fact that you can't review it and get that right is silly as well. Yeah, so
they're not rescinding red cards they do in the NBA.
Yeah, well, they should.
I think it's more like college football, right? I don't think I've ever seen a targeting changed.
They are supposed to objectively review the targeting call before they make that call official.
Yeah, I think if they go to the review, like in college football target, I don't think like, you know, the commissioner of the SEC can then go in and say, watch it and change.
All I'm saying is World Cup play, round of 32, round of 16, anywhere beyond in knockout play, this kind of thing should be reviewed. I mean, if that foul is going to be interpreted by one individual as a 1.5 game suspension ultimately, then that should be reviewable in games that are this big. I mean, that's just silly to not do it. But the Americans, USA, Team USA goes on and wins 2-0. We do play Belgium next, who is ranked higher than us. And even though we are favored to win that game. By the way, Tyler, Belgium, people in Belgium, Belgians, right.
Nailed it.
Just switch a couple letters right there.
Hell
the
yeah.
Belgians. By the way,
I did say it first.
I'm so cultured.
I'll go a step further. They're referred to as Flemings on the north side. That's the north side of Belgium. Apparently, is Dutch speaking. Closer
really?
To Holland. Closer yeah. to Holland, I guess.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, and then the south region, the French speaking region. Is the Walloons.
Oh, the Walloons.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody.
So Belgians, Flemings, or Walloons. Whatever you consider yourself, you're going to get a good old-fashioned American ass-whooping on Monday night.
Yo, I hope so, man. This is...
We'll put a boot in your ass.
Yeah, I hope so, because then this... Because this is... It feels like we're on a special ride right now. Feels like we're on a special ride. There we go.
I'm enjoying 16. It, man.
I am.
It's awesome.
I got to get somewhere to watch it.
We can talk about this in the next segment or maybe later on. Highly disappointed with the song choice at the end.
Yeah, pretty lame. They could do a lot better.
Not a fan of John Denver?
No, I like John Denver,
but it could be much better.
I think there's a lot of songs out there you could pick that don't talk. I mean,
it should specifically be talk about West Virginia,
yeah, of all places.
It should be Toby Keith.
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way.
That would be a good one. I don't know how many people in those stands would know that word for word, but I agree with you. We teach them.
That'd be awesome. R.I.P. Toby.
I was thinking T.I. You don't know me, but. In a different direction.
T.I. is fun.
I was waiting for him to shift gears and genres. I was. I mean, they kept that damn country roads. It went on and on. I was like, golly, can we switch genres here or something?
It might have been Sweet Caroline. All right, coming up, some news with the Astros. Of course, injury news with the Astros. And, we got to talk about this. Even though they're off today, tomorrow's a big day because we're starting to maybe get to, like, a real concern area with a big time piece for the Astros. We'll discuss that next.
Good to see you, Smile.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
I would take this to be what they do afterwards.
Hell yeah, it'd still be an upgrade.
let John come on out there. They all sing it though. I think it's now becoming a thing now. There are a lot of people who had different takes, Clint. A lot of people who really enjoyed it. I know you didn't. There are a lot.
I think it's a big ass deal, and I think you should have spent some time thinking about it, and I think you would have landed on a different song.
I think it just. I wonder who made that decision. Is it just organic and it just came on?
That's fair. I probably should get the backstory. I'll be honest with you. I don't know the history of the song either. I mean, obviously I know what he's saying, but I don't know. So I mean, if there's some kind of backstory that I need to know, then maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, I like Country Roads. I do. I just don't. I don't think I don't think that's a grand slam pick.
It was quite a scene though. Afterwards, where Fox kept the cameras there,
sure.
and then had them rolling, and man, the crowd afterwards. I was watching the post game, and that crowd was crazy up in Santa Clara. So it was a good scene.
I thought one of the coolest things, Ron, was that the when they would go to the different cities. Kansas City had one.
Yep.
I think Dallas had one, maybe.
What those huge watch parties.
Yeah, man, that was really cool, man. And a bunch of big cities around our country, man. That was cool. Now, I don't want to be in the middle of them, especially with all that beer throwing and stuff. But there was a day
I've been there.
Oh, I'd have been knee deep.
I've been knee deep in it.
I'd have tried to get me a little raised VIP booth in the corner or something, but yeah. I'd have been knee deep in that one.
Yeah, no raised.
Yeah, get me up above where I can see folks.
Yeah.
At rails, you can't squeeze me against the rail.
Blasted, boy.
You've been right there in that spot.
That
huh?
spot, yeah, multiple times. All right. Some news. Some news coming from the Astros as they are off today, and they'll get ready for a big series against the Tampa Bay Rays. But Christian Walker, he did leave the game yesterday with a back issue, had back stiffness. Doesn't seem to be all that concerned about it. Walker thought it was just general fatigue and said he plans to be in the lineup on Friday. And then Ray Nail, Delgado, he left the game after taking a ball that had a bad hop in his right hand. I think there was even thoughts that he dislocated the pinky finger with that, but the trainers were covering his hand immediately with a towel, so we'll see a little bit more.
Had that old Booger McFarlane pinky thing was pointed sideways. I'm going
to
tell you, the Christian Walker thing scares me.
Yeah.
The Christian Walker thing scares me, and it has nothing to do with the player. I'm not worried about Christian Walker one bit. He'll be back. He'll be fine. He'll continue to rake. He'll continue to rake, and he'll have a good year. A great year, really.
The Christian combo.
When a guy like Christian Walker cites general fatigue as a reason why his back tightened up or whatever happened, boy, that just gives Joe a spot of the green light, doesn't it? Load management, boys. See, this is why we do it.
Oh, yeah.
This is why we do
load
it.
Load management, first baseman.
Oh, yeah, that's why we do it. He's one of the guys that likes to play all, you know, play more than he doesn't like to come out at all.
Yeah, but he wants to play 155 of them.
See, this is why. This is why we load manage right here. That's the scary part here. Not the player. The messaging to the organization and the decision
makers. What if they give him tomorrow off?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if
I guarantee you somebody's going to be off tomorrow. We're not off.
They had a day off today. They'll all be in there tomorrow.
You think?
Only one that you
double
look
up
at
the
is
off
this,
days, man. Take advantage of it.
Not against the Rays. This is a big series. This is the swoon that the Yankees have had. They've lost, what, seven straight? It just excites Tyler.
I got a message for those Yankees turds.
See, puts a smile on my face, man.
Yeah, they've lost seven straight, and with the horrificness of the American League, they are still clearly games ahead of the second best record in the entire American League. But the Rays are now in first place, and that's who the Astros are about to take on. So this is a big series. And so I think all hands are on deck to kind of get through this. They had won five straight series. Now they're going to try to get back and win another series. By the way, if I'd have told you this about a month ago, 3 weeks ago, been like, all right, hey, playing the best team in the American League with the best record, who's the three you want to run out? Spencer Getty, Hunter Brown, and Big Pete Lambert.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go. That's that. Right now, that is the three best that they can throw. We gotta we gotta pull up here a little bit on Spencer Getty.
Oh, well, I thought you had another injury update.
No. This is this Spencer Getty. This is getting a little dicey. I mean, his overall number still, you'll take Clint. He's 7-4, 72 innings, ERA at right at 4, 75 strikeouts, 37 walks. Clint, his ERA on June 3rd, five starts ago, was 1.94.
It's climbed a bit.
It has climbed to 4, to a 4 even ERA. And in his last five starts, fellas, Spencer Arrighetti is 0-3, 25 innings, 25 earned runs with 24 strikeouts, 11 walks, and he's given up 7 home runs in those five starts. Mm. 8 earned in his last start.
Easy, Mike.
In his last start. It is like this isn't now just a, you know, all right, tough start, man. He has given up like big numbers here, 5 consecutive starts. That is that they desperately need him to get back because he was. I mean, we're going to stop All-Star and Cy Young conversations. He was 7-1 with an ERA at like 1.3. We're in Michigan,
yeah.
And now it is going here. So like this is to me a flashing light. Like, all right, now we got to look at this. He's not pitching like.
Yeah.
The second or third best starter.
This is the concern with everybody not named Hunter Brown. I mean, this is the concern. Now, I'm in no way, shape, or form getting off the Spencer Arrighetti train. I think he's a three starter and a good start in rotation potentially. That's where I think he's going to live ultimately. But I, you know, it's been a rough stretch, no doubt about it. But Tampa Bay is getting the best that the Astros can roll out there right now. And I believe all three of these cats are going to give us a chance to win.
Yeah, I wouldn't say you walk away from hell. You ain't got no choice. You're not in a choice. But it's not just that. It is, I mean, he started to make you think, get a little excited.
Yeah.
Like he started, I mean, we had the conversations on this show of like, one of the things with this during this Astros golden era that apparently last week we decided ended of the golden era was they always seemed to have a 1-2 punch at least at the top of the rotation. And we start thinking, man, Hunter Brown comes back like, all right, Spencer's not just holding his own. He is pitching like a top of the rotation guy. And have they just all of a sudden stumbled on a 1-2 punch that matches some of the 1-2 punches they've had? Because it was an 8-9 start sample size. Now I'm with you. Now we're more just a solid starter in the league, and you got to at least get back to that. Because he gave up 8 runs in his last start. That's Homer Mikeville. That's Emi. It's the territory of just like your starter comes out and gives up 8 runs and doesn't make it through like 3. That's he's got to pick that up. He's got to get better at that because that is something that they definitely need.
Well, again, I hate to keep going back to the Christian Javier thing, Ron, but this is beyond Hunter Brown. This is why I think it's important that Christian Javier, like, I know this is a little bit of an outlier and it's been off the radar because he's been hurt for so long. But like if this team's going to make a legitimate run, it's probably going to hinge on Christian Javier to some degree. And I'm not talking about out of the bullpen. I mean, I like Peter Lambert. Do we think Peter Lambert's going to be, I mean, is he landed? Is this who Peter Lambert is?
I don't know, but Pete looks like, Pete's got to have a hell of a sample size to fall out of this five.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about falling. I'm talking about if we get down a stretch here and we got a chance to get into the playoffs and we do get into the playoffs, like to think that Spencer Arrighetti's going to get it together and be the guy he was, a couple weeks ago, or Peter Lambert's going to continue to be the guy that he's been all year long and be nails and give you a real chance. Or MI is going to straighten it out and figure it out. Like, you mentioned Christian Javier's, like, his experience. His experience in big moments, big games, playoffs.
Most experience on the team.
On the team, right? You got to think that's from a 30,000-foot view. I'm not even drilling down to right this second. But you got to think from a 30,000-foot view, if you're the Astros organization, you're thinking, if we're going to have a real shot, we're going to have to lean on Christian Javier's stuff as well as his experience in big moments.
Yep.
At some point, that's going to be realistic.
And I want to make that clear. Starting pitching experience, right? Most experience, not like Altuve, the entire team. Like starting experience. I mean, to be honest, even more than Lance. Lance has been here longer, but Christian has pitched in more big playoff games because, you know, we lost Lance for about 4 years. So there's that. All right, coming up. We want to get you caught up on the big event that we have tomorrow. And I think D'Amico and his staff, especially D'Amico and his offensive staff, and this has to be a big part of D'Amico, I think, as well. This may be the biggest thing from training camp to the start of the season that they have to deal with. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Take the drive.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents
Malik Tillman, 2-0 United States!
The United States has moved on to the next round of the World Cup.
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
History began on July 4th, 1776. Everything before that was a mistake.
I can't stop.
Thanks, Ron. Welcome back into The Drive as we continue here. Big day, Team USA advances. And they will play Belgium coming up on Monday. That should be fun. And the Astros off today. Big series with the team with the best record in the American League. And their three best starters this year going in the series. So this should be a fun weekend, and it gets started tomorrow with the second annual Reggie and Ron Radiothon. We're doing that tomorrow. Reggie and I, a couple of years ago, came together and wanted to try to do something to help raise money and work with the Houston Food Bank, and we put it together last year, and that was the first year, and We really didn't know a lot of what we were doing, but with the help of you guys, we raised nearly $30,000, and we are trying to shoot past that, and I know we will, and I know you guys will come through. We've already heard from many people who were wondering if we were going to do this again. We're going to try to do this every single year, and it helped the Houston Food Bank in a major way, right? $1 takes care of three meals. And they are in charge of over 1 million different people that they help feed here in Houston every day. So we're doing that tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Radiothon. It is open throughout that time, and you can donate. And the kind of cool thing this year is we have several auction items for you, and you can now start the bidding right now. You go to sportsradio610.com. It'll show you instructions right there, clear as day, for the Reggie and Ron Radiothon, and it'll give you auction, take you to the auction page, and you can see as we have several things there for you to be able to bid on, including dinners with all of the shows, Payne and Pendergast, In the Loop, us, Area 45, just like we did last year, and those were we've heard from the people who participated in that, and obviously we did it ourselves. It seemed to be a really, really good time on all of the shows and the dinner. So we'll do that again this year, and then we have much more on that auction page. As we've got autograph stuff from some of the biggest stars in sports history, including an autograph glove from Mike Tyson that you can bid on. Somebody has already started the bidding on that. An autographed Oilers helmet by Earl Campbell. Andre Johnson, the autographed photo of him whooping Courtland Finnegan's ass. Tried to get Courtland to autograph that. He declined, allegedly. But so many things, man. UT stuff. A&M stuff. Astros items that you can bid on, including an autograph of of Jose Altuve, Akeem Olajuwon autograph jersey from him. So there's so many things you can bid on. You can go right now and bid on those to help us raise money for the Houston Food Bank.
And I'm gonna be selfish. I need you out there if you want to enjoy a good evening with the drive. Not a good evening, a great evening. We are gonna be at Oak and Iron. It's a place we've done live broadcasts from before.
Great spot.
Go to their website. It's up on the north side. Go to their website and look. There's a video there that I'm trying. Tyler's checking to see if he can post it and get you a link to it. On our social medias. It is an absolutely tremendous, tremendous place, whether you're going just for food or you're going to watch a game or to hang out at the bar, for whatever it is an unbelievable place. The night there will be tremendous. They will make it an absolute point to show off for us, and it's a great place. It's going to be a lot of fun. So go to that sportsradio610.com. You can look at all the items. You can bid on any of the items, but I'd greatly appreciate it if you'd bid on that that night with dinner with Tyler, Show, and myself.
That's right.
Get it done. Let's ride, baby.
That's right, man. So please, as we said, we are trying to blow past what we did last year, and last year was an amazing experience with you guys. A little 12 hours of radio, baby. Got to pace myself. Yeah, got to pace myself, but I'm in good shape. All right. Clint, I think obviously the CJ Stroud situation, no matter how you look at it, is kind of the biggest thing and the biggest question right now, which is surprising a couple of years ago that we would say is the biggest question on this team, but it is. And I think with that, for all kinds of reasons, he is facing a ton of pressure. Tyler, let me see what ChatGPT thinks about CJ Stroud. I just said, hey, is CJ Stroud facing a lot of pressure?
It's always fun to see what AI has to say on anything like this.
It came back, fellas. Houston Texans quarterback CJ Stroud is under intense pressure heading into the 2026 season. Due to a multi-year statistical decline, high-profile playoff struggles, and a complete standstill in his contract extension.
Wow. There you go.
negotiations. While his 2023 Offensive Rookie of the Year campaign set historic expectations, a stark cooling off of his production over the past two seasons has turned this upcoming year into a critical, prove-it crossroads season. Said stalled negotiations and playoff turnovers, decline in efficiency are problems as well. So ChatGPT believes that he is under big pressure. And with that, Clint, I think obviously he has a part to play in it. But I also think starting maybe OTAs, probably the offseason right from the bat, definitely starting in training camp. The coaching staff, D'Amico Ryans, who knows him better than anybody on the staff. D'Amico Ryans, Nick Cayley, Slipinski, damn it, Jerry. The whole coaching staff that deals with CJ, a big thing for them is going to be how they're able to handle him and the pressure that he's going to have on himself and all around him, especially at training camp, all the way to the start of the season. Because he's coming out the blocks, Clint, against Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott in his first four games. Yeah. So there is big pressure for him. I think a critical thing is how they're going to approach it with him.
Yeah, look, a ton of pressure, no doubt about it. I mean, for an organization that constantly preaches it's a new team year to year, we know the 26-27 team here in Houston is going to be quarterbacked by C.J. Stroud. And so it's in everybody's best interest to make sure that C.J. Stroud is the best version of himself, because that ultimately is going to dictate whether this team can get over the hump and get beyond the second round of the playoffs. Y'all can miss me with the defense wins championship stuff. It's important, no doubt about it, but we've seen the last couple of years that if your offense isn't up to snuff, then you're not really going to be competitive for a championship. You're not going to challenge anybody for a championship, right? The floor's been raised high enough to where this team can get into the playoffs year in, year out, win 10 games year in, year out, no question about it. But getting over that hump is going to be dependent heavily dependent on C.J. Stroud, right? And how they you are exactly correct. This is who you're going to battle with in the 26-27 season. It's in your best interest to do everything you can to get him back to the rookie year confidence level, the rookie year playing free, the rookie year success that he was having. Find that C.J. Stroud, and it starts now. The big part of this with C.J. Stroud this season is to understand that it starts right now. This isn't a middle of training camp. This isn't a last preseason game of the year. This isn't a week of game one. This is a right now situation. I got a handful of things here, Ron, and how this staff needs to approach C.J. Stroud on multiple fronts, right? I'm giving you the secret sauce here. This isn't rocket science, man. Here's the deal. Physically, do not touch his mechanics. I've heard random comments about his mechanics. His mechanics are not a problem. C.J. Stroud, as is, can spin it with anybody out there. Mechanics are not a problem for C.J. Stroud. Everything you do, all the reps that you get C.J. Stroud in the offseason for, you know, technical and mechanical reasons, it's rep to maintain. That's it. All of the offseason work. I don't want to hear about the straight line running with the strength coach, with his personal coach, offseason coach, whatever it is. I don't want to hear about all that crap. I love the guy's name, Clint. He got a great name, but I don't want to hear about C.J. Stroud's speed and things of that nature. We're going to do quarterback things. He already does them all well. Rep to maintain. Good game, rep to maintain. Bad game, rep to maintain. You got a great clean pocket, you keep repping. If you're getting a hell beat out of you, you keep repping. It doesn't change based off of that week's play or last year's play, right? So leave his mechanics alone, rep to maintain. Number two, the messaging that's going into his head. Stop talking about turnovers. Stop talking about staying ahead of the chains. Stop talking about all the conservative things that everybody over there offensively believes in. Stop talking about the turnovers in the playoffs and the risk that he took playing the quarterback position in the playoffs. The messaging is extremely important. C.J. Stroud is going into year four. C.J. Stroud has been in this organization with a defensive-minded head coach and Nick Caserio. If he doesn't understand how important it is, generally speaking, or how important it is to this organization for the quarterback to protect the football and for the quarterback to play efficient and stay ahead of the chains and for the quarterback to protect himself and communicate. If he doesn't understand those things, then he's not the guy. He's the hardest-headed quarterback we've ever seen. Everybody in Houston understands that the Houston Texans offensively are going to emphasize those things. Stop talking to your quarterback about it. It's not going to do any good. Do everything you can to get him to play free, right? Which includes the messaging that you're giving him every day, all right? Everything we do schematically on the offensive side of the football needs to start with simplify. You know the shortcomings of C.J. Stroud. Every quarterback has shortcomings. Whoever's responsible for the quarterback over there, Nick Caley, you mentioned Szaplinski, D'Amico Rines, Nick Caserio, you know his shortcomings. You know what he struggles with. You know what his strengths and weaknesses are. Play to those strengths. Everything you do offensively at this point in time should start with simplify. What does he do well? And the majority of what we do is going to be that, right? I think you should simplify your protections. Right? I think you should simplify your protections. It's not hard to simplify protections. You don't go into a game with 42 different protections. Go in with 20. And have easy calls. If they're A-gap pressures, hey, we're going to squeeze it. We're going to leave the widest guy unblocked. And CJ, you got to find an answer, right? The worst thing that I've seen in 3 years with CJ Stroud when it comes to obviously the offensive line play has not been great. The turnover to offense coordinator has not been great. The injuries have been bad. But when you look at the quarterback play, the most disturbing thing, Ron, is when he snaps the football versus pressure, there's a high percentage of time where he doesn't know where the pressure is coming from. There is a huge difference in me snapping the ball knowing that everybody's not blocked, but I know number 55 coming off the end is who I got to beat. Mm. That's not ideal, but it's not a problem. I can fix that, right? When I snap the football and I don't know if it's the safety that's in the A-gap or the edge rusher to my left, I don't know which one of those guys is coming free because the play clock got us and now we're snapping the ball in a hurry. That's the worst case scenario. It happens too often with this team, or at least it appears to happen too often with C.J. Stroud. So simplify, simplify, simplify. You can do that without just being totally vanilla. You can do that without cutting your offense in half. You can simplify. So that's number three. Number four, I think you got to use the basic weapons in offensive football, Ron, to give your quarterback opportunities. To simplify the game. How about you play with some tempo It's football 101. You play with tempo. The defense can only change so much. The defense can only run so many different coverages and can only vary from what they did the previous play. How about we use that to clear things up for C.J. Stroud? Motions, shifts. We've talked about that. Screen game. All of those things are, I think they leave a lot. They leave a lot to be desired over here. That would help C.J. Stroud. Last but not least, they should gear every – I think it should be an extreme. All these things should be an extreme, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
It should be an extreme, Ron. Everything in training camp this year for the Houston Texans should start with one question. Every period that you put in on the schedule should start with, is this going to make C.J. Stroud better? Is this going to make C.J. Stroud more confident? Is this going to make C.J. Stroud more comfortable? That's where it should start. Training camp last year, we're going to go out every day and we're going to prove we're the best defense in football. We're going to do it against our number ones. We're going to do it all day long. That's what the message was last year. This year, it needs to be C.J.'s going to get 3 weeks to a month of a clean pocket. C.J.'s going to see the ball leave his hands and get caught for touchdowns. C.J.'s going to see answers to every pressure and we're going to get the football out. If we're not, we're going to line up and do it again, right? Like, that should be the priority number one for D'Amico Ryans going into training camp. And hey, talk about it. Tell them about it. We got to get our quarterback comfortable, man.
Yeah. Confidence and trust is huge for C.J. Stroud.
Absolutely.
Going into this.
Non-negotiable, division. Bro.
Got to be. Them and him and them as well. Coming up, a little 5 o'clock fire as we continue right here live on The Drive.
Every week on The Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything and your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.